Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They call me a flapper because I'm soaring to new heights.
That's creative.
Thank you.
I really could not think of anything. I'm just going to say, I bring the decadence and you bring the depression. Well, hello.
And
welcome
to Privileged Twinks.
Yeah. I'm Travis.
And I'm Tyler.
And this is for the Jokes.
A podcast where we recap the
Real Housewives.
That's a new talk. I was going to make mine flapper. I hardly know her.
No.
I think I might make that next week's episode because the next one's really about the flappers.
Oh, gotcha.
If you are just tuning in, basically what we're doing right now is recapping season one because we never did that on the pod. So right now we're on episode 3, and I also figured every episode, if you didn't watch it, I would just like say right now kind of what's in the episode so you know what we're going to be talking about. So this is the infamous Jen showing Brooks her vagina. Kind of like your vagina, mama. Sorry.
The gay.
The gay jumped out.
Too strong. Could not be contained.
That's from Drag Race, by the way. We have Heather's pregnancy baby shower for all of her pregnant employees. And we end with the flapper. Oh, and we go to Mary's church.
Yeah. This was a very sparse. There wasn't one main theme
through line.
It was just kind of
getting us to the flapper party. Mm-hmm.
But it's only the third episode of the first season, so we're still at this time we would still be getting to know people.
Yeah, it's just setting up a lot of dynamics, I think.
Uh-huh.
The Mary versus Jen and where Meredith fits into all of it. Lisa was hardly in this episode at all,
but I remember what she says the most.
You did. But I just think they didn't really show her leading up to the party that much.
Also, I think
so we start the episode with a crazy scene with Lisa.
Okay, anyways. Before we jump into it, is there any thoughts?
Oh.
I'm excited. I just saw that Monica's on Two T's in a Pod, so I'm going to listen to that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think she's done a long, in-depth interview with people who are from, especially with people from Housewives land. So I'm excited to hear what she says or how it goes.
Yeah, it'll be interesting for sure.
Yeah.
Except they're also teasing, we're asking the questions and she's answering what you wished would have happened on the reunion. And I'm like, how many times are we going to get Monica teasing things that she's going to say somewhere else and never saying them?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Although she's not the one teasing it.
True. Mm. That's true. Okay, that was going to be my housekeeping. Okay. I don't really have much else, except that I will say there's a new cast member, right? And the rumors are the Woomas that they have multiple burner troll accounts. One of the new cast members again. I don't know how much this has. This is real, but there's rumors on Twitter that basically the two new members that they've been people have been leaking and teasing. People are saying they might fully just cut them out and start refilming again with a new third member now.
What?
Yeah, apparently. I don't know. All I know is what the rumor mill is on Twitter. So that could all be wrong.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, how do they keep getting people? If you can have people with burner accounts, how do you keep getting people with burner accounts?
I don't know.
They're going to have to add it into the contract. If it is discovered you have a burner contract, you can immediately be fired and just completely scrubbed from the show.
Mm-hmm.
If they care that much.
Yeah.
Which apparently they do.
So I don't know.
Oh, my word.
All right. You want to get into this one?
Well, we do open up with a banker. Oh, wait.
We should talk about Traders a little bit.
Oh, my
Traders
God.
Traders Corner.
Such a tease.
Oh, Peter has declined the traitor ask.
Oh, right.
We have a iconic MJ meme that is circulating everywhere now.
Right. This is what I want to say, is that I loved the show Shaws of Sunset on Bravo. It ran for like 8 or 9 years. There is one season that is particularly difficult to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But only because it's like emotionally wrecking, because it's a vicious fight. Mm-hmm. And it goes the whole season. It's really bad. But such a great show. I loved it. I never thought it got like the buzz. Flowers. Yeah, exactly. And then they canceled it a few years ago. And so, but some of the cast has been getting on different shows. So I'm so glad to see MJ on Traitors. And even though I don't know how she feels about the meme,
I feel like she would hate it. I don't know.
I feel like it's like good and bad, but I feel like people are gonna like know her more.
Yeah.
And I mean, listen, if you're gonna be out there, who was it? Somebody said this I heard recently, and they were like, if you're gonna put yourself out there for entertainment or for like your opinions, you're just gonna get read for filth, and you have to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it doesn't matter, just keep it moving. So I feel like this is only to her good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the worst meme to be made of someone. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it is kind of making fun of her stance and her outfit, but like at the end of the day, it's like getting her face everywhere and not that.
It's funny.
Yeah, not in spite, really, I don't think.
Right. It's not like she's making fun of, it's just a funny situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm glad for her. And
rooting for Phaedra, but scared.
Yeah.
But I was also seeing that some people were talking about, like, in the clip where Sandra was, like, doing the pool table analogy thing with, like, all the pool balls.
Right.
Apparently, she said in a recent, like, TikTok that she also mentioned on the show, like, we want the traitors to be in our corner. So we're going to hope and pray that none of those five people are traitors, because that'll make us last longer if we try to pick that whole group off one by one. But then they didn't air that part.
Oh, so she had like a deeper strategy to what she was doing.
Yeah, she wasn't just saying it's us versus them now. She was saying like, I'm going to say it's us versus them, and we're hoping that those are all the like, what do they call them?
Faithfuls.
Like, let's hope they're all faithfuls, and then we can get all of them out, and then that gives us a better chance at the end.
But how would that give them a better chance to making it to the end? Or
because if they pick off all of those faithfuls, then they know those are all faithfuls, and then they know that it's like, basically it's going to be like Sandra and MJ and other couple people in that group versus like them. They kind of already know who the traitors are.
But I don't know. Sandra and like, it's always hugging Phaedra. I think she has no clue.
But they might know Parvati, though.
Yeah.
You're right, though. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought it was interesting that she was saying there was more strategy to it than what it seemed.
Yes. I just think it's funny. At every episode, these people act like they know what's going on. They don't know what's going on, and then they realize that, and then they continue to act like they know what's going on.
It's like they kind of do know what's going on, and then they keep doing the opposite thing.
They like brush on. I think it's the consensus part. Like, one person might be like, I really feel strongly about this, but it's hard to get everybody onto the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into this one.
Okay, well,
the beginning is so funny.
Might have the best opening line of all episodes. And it's Lisa saying, John, I need a Diet Coke so badly. Henry, you need to work on the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
It's just like,
while Jack is driving them. And then Henry says one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not watch porn, even though he's 7.
Yeah. There was two questionably like sexual comments from her children in one episode. I was like, can we, like, what's happening?
Yeah, when he's pulling out of the driveway, Jack says, what's he say?
So this, we're not, at this point, this isn't the driving thing, the opening scene.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, they're just in the car. It's Lisa, John, and Henry's in the back.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And that he starts reciting the Ten Commandments, but then he says something about porn. And they don't, I think
he says,
like,
thou shalt not smoke and thou shalt not watch porn. Neither of those are a Ten Commandment.
Right. They are vices. They are vices. But I'm also like,
this is funny. That they like, that he's like, I already know them.
I, And they just didn't really think anything of it.
Yeah.
They're just like, okay, yeah, that's bad.
It's probably because she doesn't know him, because she hasn't even read the Book of Mormon.
No. And not that she didn't know him, that she didn't have a problem with saying, like, why is your 7-year-old talking about pornography?
Yeah.
I mean,
because he has an older brother.
That's true.
I mean, I don't think I was doing that, but like, it seems like Jack is clearly like,
and it's a different
talking sexually already. So
it is a different day and age as well, because when I was 7, the internet wasn't really like on a poppin.
Yeah.
So, you know, kids just don't, I guess.
There probably wasn't even internet when you were 7.
The internet did exist. It just was not in everyone's hands at all times.
I was joking.
Oh my God. Anyways.
Thanks, Al Gore.
Anyways, but we're opening with a few quick montages. So that was with Lisa, and then we see Meredith. Her and Brooks are on massage tables with electrodes attached to them that are shocking their body so they can have fake exercise.
That's so weird.
Yeah. And this is the most I worked out in my life.
For 5 months, he says.
Right. Then we go to Whitney, who is shopping for venue. Well, I say shopping. They're looking at a venue for a party. We only see the one, so this is what they're going to be. This scene also reminded me again of how awkward they were in the first season on camera.
Yes.
And the bar owner had some like weird line about dry and prohibition. And I was like, this is just so awkward.
Basically, she's having a flapper party in a speakeasy, and the speakeasy's front, quote unquote, is an antique store, even though there's giant signs everywhere that say Prohibition Bar on the outside.
Right.
I think Whitney just got really into the whole speakeasy of it all. Even in the party planning part, she comes in, she's like, I'm looking for wet antiques. And he's like, well, you know, it's Prohibition, which is dry.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to be wet. And she's like, I want to be wet.
Yeah.
And then they open the door, and there's a bar.
And yes, the faces you were making were pretty intense.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, so they're having a party. Then we go to Heather, who is also planning a party, because 5 out of the 20 employees at Beauty Lab, they are pregnant for the first time with boys. All with boys.
20 years old.
Huh?
I don't know if that's true, but they're all really young, too.
Oh, right. So they have all these little Range Rover gifts, like little, even though kids can't ride those until they're like 2, I think.
Yeah.
Right. But whatever. Jinshaw shows up. She's gets out, which in the craziest shoes every time she. I grew up in Florida, so my experience with ice is limited. I've lived in a cold climate for like maybe like 3 or 4 years total.
Yeah.
So I still have a very wary, like,
no one else was even wearing like a dress, and she was wearing like a dress, strappy heels that went all the way up with like crazy detailing and a fur coat just to Heather's house.
Yeah. She wore the same thing to Meredith afterward, but it wasn't like anything fancy.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. This is not the first time we've seen her in crazy shoes and terrain.
I just love the camera, like the camera work.
Yeah.
They just always show feet first. Like that. Like it's like they know to look for what she's going to step out.
I just don't understand how people do it, because the ice is scary.
Yeah.
And it's hard enough, like not falling when you're on.
Well, it's because she had two Shaw Squad members helping her walk up the.
Yeah.
Like just to.
Well, get and
to
her the aunt. Or was that, that oh, was that just her
was
aunt.
That was
yeah.
her aunt.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, you made your aunt drive you and then walk you up the set. Like, it just, I don't know. It's kind of crazy looking back on how many people are always around her that she's paying.
Yes. But most importantly, that she's paying to be around her. Anyways, so in this scene, they're all together, like, doing the stuff for the party, but really, they're talking about Heather's feelings about her divorce and about being a mother. Mm-hmm. This is triggering some feelings in her, because mm-hmm. we learn that Heather was married, but not really in love with her husband. She chose her husband because he met like the Mormon ideals. Mm-hmm. He was a good Mormon, maybe could provide for the family. And her job, culturally, she's supposed to be a good wife and a good mother and try to attain this perfect life. They were together for, did she say how long?
11 years, I think.
Yeah. And then he left her out of the blue. Mm-hmm. And now she's saying she doesn't believe in, like, culturally, she doesn't really believe in her heart, she doesn't believe in divorce. And she would never leave a bad marriage. You just 1,000% stay and try to make it work. Mm-hmm. So she felt like she gave up a lot of her own personal wants that maybe lie outside of, she sacrificed her personal wants to meet this Mormon ideal, and he took that away from her.
Yeah. And she basically was saying, like, you can't be divorced and Mormon. Like, those two don't go hand in hand.
Which, so, obviously, Heather is coming from a more
traditional,
puritanical version of Mormonism, because there are others that, like, get, you know, wrap their brains around it, but
she's just saying, like, the principles of Mormonism say you can't get divorced. So, therefore, if you get divorced, you can't be Mormon.
Well, and it says a lot about the family she comes from. Yeah. Like, that they're very, very Mormon.
It felt much more raw this season, too. Like, in the later ones, it's like, she still has these things ingrained in her, but she doesn't care so much. But this one, it was, like, immediate, like, triggered her to tears.
Yeah. And I thought it was funny because they were kind of, like, the other people there were trying to convince her that it's okay if you're in a bad marriage for you to leave. Like, that's what you should do. And that, and as an example to your children, you don't want to keep repeating the cycle of, like, unhealthy marriages just for appearance's sake or whatever, which is a good point. I mean, these are all valid, I would say, good things. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Heather didn't leave. Her husband left her. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I don't know why you're saying all this, because she wouldn't have left.
Yeah. I do think Jen was a good, like, outsider in this part, though, and was like, Heather, that's not true. People get divorced all the time for reasons that you're saying, and just because you get divorced doesn't mean you can't be whatever religion you want to be.
Right.
But Heather doesn't see it that way, really.
Yeah. She's sort of still fresh in her journey away from, like, puritanical Mormon.
Yeah.
Okay. Then next we go to Meredith, who starts by turning the blender on with no lid. And Brooke says, "Are you a moron?
I am a moron."
She's explaining how she loves being with her children, especially in her time of separation. Mm-hmm. Brooks is explaining that he's basically only home because he took a semester off to support his mother during her separation.
And to work on his clothing line.
Yeah, right. But also, Chloe's in her first year of college and she's home visiting. So Jen comes from Heather's to Meredith's. And Jen also explains that she likes hanging out with Meredith because they both have a little bit of absent husband. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously Meredith's husband because they're going through a hard time. Jen's is more because of Coach Shaw's job.
Yeah. I think because she was having such, like, positive, well, I don't want to say positive, but such, like, crazy energy vibe all season one, you kind of miss the little times when she says, like, I'm lonely. But, like, watching it back and knowing, like, in season two, how that, like, the whole thing blows up, it makes me feel a little more sad for Jen. I know she did horrible things, but, like, she just, you can tell, is just, like, really lonely.
Yeah.
And she literally pays for, like, 10 people to be around her so she doesn't feel lonely at all times.
Exactly. And so I guess maybe that's why she takes some of the stuff so personally, because she, like...
Like the sleepover thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's a friend.
It's kind of crazy, but...
I know, but...
So not much is happening here, except for this is where we get her... I don't even know how they got on this topic.
For some reason, she starts talking about doing high kicks, and then Brooks is like, what's a high kick? And then she's like, I would do it for you, but you would see my vagina, because I'm not wearing underwear. But then she does it, and she starts saying grinder, grinder, grinder.
Yeah, which I really feel like this is probably what was upsetting to him.
Which is what you say three times in the mirror to get who to show up. James Charles? I don't know.
Truly terrifying. Yeah, so Brooks is at this point offended. And he says Chloe is as well, though I don't believe that.
Okay, the only reason I do, you can actually visibly see on his face He's offended, but I don't see how he actually saw anything. Oh, the Amazon Fresh is here.
Okay, groceries delivered.
I don't really think he saw anything, but I will say, the only reason, let's say, if my mom got on a TV show like this, that I would come home for a visit would be to be on camera. Let's just say that. I mean, not the only reason, but like, if you're coming in for no kind of reason at all, and your mom is literally filming that whole weekend, to me, that says that Chloe wanted to be on camera. Then,
well, her mom could have asked her too, because, you know, Meredith's supposed to show her life, and part of her life is her children.
True. But all I mean is, they get so uncomfortable, they want to leave. And I feel like Brooks and Chloe are both giving off, oh, we want to be on camera vibes. But then they get so uncomfortable with Jen that they literally are like, can we leave the house and not be on camera?
Yeah, but I still think, I mean, because they showed a clip of it later where she's like kicking again and Chloe seems to be laughing, which could, that doesn't, it could be awkward laugh. Like, so I'm like trying not to make you uncomfortable.
We never really hear her opinion from her mouth.
Exactly. So it reads to me, and you know, obviously at this time, Brooks is not out of the closet fully, you know, but he has since exited. And I don't know. I just feel like most gay, it's like, no, you don't want to see, maybe you don't want to see somebody else's genitalia, but at the same time, it's like, not a big deal. I don't know that I've met other gay men that are like, ew, vagina. You know, like if they saw their girlfriends who are like, do you get what I'm saying? It's just
how
weird to me.
How old is Brooks here, though?
21.
I mean, I think if my mom had her friends, one friend over, and all of a sudden she started kicking her legs in the air and I saw her vagina at 21, I would be like, that's really weird. Like, don't do that.
It would be a unique, it would be like, that's unusual. I don't know that I loved that.
Yeah.
But I don't, like, I have to leave the house because this is inappropriate behavior.
Yeah. I mean,
what I think happened is that she started making gay references and he was not ready to like deal with that.
Yeah. There could have been more to it about than that. We saw.
I think the grinder thing, and he was like,
but the grinder thing came out of nowhere, so it makes you wonder if there's like other things they cut.
Yes, exactly. I think it was getting a little too close.
That's a good,
and he got upset, and but he can't say that, so now it's about her vagina.
Yeah.
So I feel like in rewatching this, I think what really put me off of Brooks originally was this whole thing, because I think you could feel like, it doesn't seem to be what it's about. And so it makes him seem like he's just being kind of like overly whiny and dramatic.
Wanting drama, yeah. I will say, if Jen doesn't really know him that well, she was saying a lot of other things too. Like just because they came out of your vagina doesn't mean they're not my children too. And like weird things like that. Like if they're not that close, it seems like maybe she's trying to make them appear closer than they are. And that would be a turnoff for me if I'm like, I don't know you. You're trying to come off on camera like you do.
Exactly.
Although she was wearing a Brooks Marks sweatshirt in episode one, I mean.
She was.
Actually, the whole tracksuit.
Yeah, she was. So I'm
But that could have been gifted from Meredith to all the ladies before the show, just like to be like, wear this on the show. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, mom's calling. Hi, mom.
Put her on speaker.
Oh, wait, no, I texted.
What's the next scene? I feel like that's all for that one,
right? It is, yeah. So next we're back with Lisa. This is like when they're taking Jack to practice driving. This is very like normal, like my son driving stresses me out vibes. Interestingly, she's lost her voice a little.
Yeah.
This is where they're backing out the driveway and Jack says, I have a strong plug game. I'm just like, does she not know what that means?
Because, I don't think she knows what it means.
Because that's, I mean, like, don't say that in front of your mother.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. And I wouldn't want to, like, don't do
or
that.
Or in front of a 7-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. And so the fact that she doesn't catch it and she doesn't say, I'm like, if you know what that means, this is a little sus.
I don't think she knows what it means. She's also, like, super stressed, but then she keeps being like, Jack, don't stress. You're gonna wreck if you stress. And I'm like, you're the stressor.
Yeah.
In this situation.
Anyways, I was just like, I don't know. Between the porn thing and the pullout game, I'm like, what is happening? What is happening? I don't, this is like, bizarre. Yeah,
probably video games.
But it is really funny that when they finally get to the gas station, which was where they were going, she says, now go get me a 44 ounce Diet Coke Easy Ice with lemon.
Yeah, it's like Dorit with her cocktail, but it's just like she wants a 44 ounce Diet Coke with Easy Ice with the lemon.
Yeah. I forgot how like branded, like not intentionally, but like fast food.
She basically has two scenes this episode, and they're both about Diet Coke.
Yeah. Okay, so then the next scene we are with Mary and with Meredith. They're getting dinner. What is happening in this scene? I forget. Mary, although her wig was a little interesting, but this scene is about their children, I guess, her kids.
Yeah.
Well, this is where Mary really talks about her child.
Yeah.
And her marriage. Yes. So we start off by talking about how her son, he's now 17 and he has his first girlfriend. And she said, he's still the love of my life. I'm just not the love of his.
Yeah.
Which this is very like, I think.
And maybe you want to know if this is the same girl.
Normal that mom thing to go through. Huh?
It makes me want to know if this is the same one who got he got married to or not.
It's the only kid she has. Oh, the girlfriend.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. And so they're talking about what it's like to have kids and they grow up, you know, and Meredith, I feel like Meredith was giving good advice. Meredith was also saying she can't connect with women who act like marriage is perfect. Mm-hmm. And which I thought was interesting because Heather's point of view was talking about how your marriage, basically the culture is you should appear like your marriage is perfect. Mm-hmm. And Meredith is like, well, I can't connect with those people because they're lying.
Well, what I thought was hypocritical was Mary was agreeing with her. And then this whole episode, she's talking about how like much she like loved, like how Robert Sr. was the perfect guy and all this stuff. And I was like, huh?
Yeah. Well, she says, she explains sort of in a roundabout kind of way what happened. So this is where we learn that her grandmother, from Mary's point of view, her grandmother made it clear that she wanted Mary specifically to inherit her, mm-hmm.
the
her
church, all her houses,
church, her businesses, her husband, and her houses, the whole kit, kat, and caboodle.
Yeah.
What she doesn't, what may not be clear at this point is that Mary was not the only option to inherit. So not only did she get everything or almost everything,
yeah,
but she was the only one, and opposed to her mother or any other relatives that may have also received something.
Yeah. And her and her mom don't have a relationship because of it.
Right.
And it split the church.
Yes.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
They made it sound like the grandpa thing was what split the church.
Ew, okay. And she's also explaining,
people being like, that's so weird.
Yeah. So she's also explaining that, you know, because she felt like her grandmother wanted her to inherit everything, she also wanted her to take her place in her marriage with her husband, mm-hmm. at the time, her step-grandfather, mm-hmm. which she does acknowledge that it was weird. So she's not fully DeLulu.
It makes me sad. She says she basically pretended to have her period for 28 days so that she wouldn't have to have sex with him.
Yes.
That's so sad.
Yes.
And she keeps referring to it as an arranged marriage.
Yes, because it was.
I feel like it was, but I just mean it's
hard
like,
to talk
it
about.
Sounds
this.
Like she didn't have any choice.
No, I feel like it was hard. It's hard at this point because I forget at what point we learned things during if it was from the season or from out just stuff outside the show. But basically, Mary had if in order to get her inheritance, she had to marry the grandfather.
Basically, yeah.
So because he was going to get everything, and it was going to go to whoever he married, basically. Mm-hmm. So. I don't know how, if it was like, you know, she's basically saying she views it as she thought that was what her grandmother wanted. So she went mm-hmm. along. That's what she did. She trusted her grandmother and went along with it. Mm-hmm. But it also could be part of it could be like, I want all these things and this is what I have to do to get it.
Yeah, it could be.
But she talks about her relationship a little bit more later, so we'll hold off on
that. Oh, yeah. I think I've jumped the gun a little bit.
But this ends basically with Meredith is interested in getting to know Mary better and how she is in the church, so Meredith mm-hmm. Mary invites her to her church. Mm-hmm. We leave the dinner, and we're still with Meredith. She's making food with Brooks. This is where he's confronting her over how he feels he was uncomfortable. Him and Chloe were uncomfortable with Jen. Jen wants to have a sleepover on the upcoming Saturday. Brooks says, no way, ma'am. You are not doing that.
The theme of this episode also should be blenders, because he's blending up almond milk. Last time we're in this kitchen, Meredith is blending up margaritas while they're trying to talk and forgets to put the lid on. And then later there's another blender.
Yeah. So
yeah, Meredith basically is like, I'm going to have to text Jen and say, like, make up an excuse. Like, yeah. Chloe wants to hang out on her last night. We had to cancel the...
Well, I was going to say, it's not really an excuse. I mean, your daughter is going back to college.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think it would be a normal thing to say, like...
But Jen sees, or, like, sees through it, basically.
Jumping the gun again.
Sorry.
So we leave that. Or what did you feel about Brooks being so bossy?
I don't know that I would say it's bossy necessarily.
No, you wouldn't. Okay.
Well, I don't know. He was speaking a lot for Chloe, and saying she was uncomfortable too. I mean, my whole thing is like, if I told my mom that I was uncomfortable with the situation, she would do the same thing.
Yeah, but would you tell your mother she couldn't do it?
He did kind of be like, she was like, well, we're supposed to have that sleepover. And he's like, well, that's not happening. Yeah. I probably wouldn't say it like that.
Right. I was like, I feel like at the core, I kind of agree with the conversation, but the way he did it, I was like, it's a little, yeah, that's a little much.
Yeah.
So now we go back to Mary, and this is our first introduction to Rob Senior.
And Junior.
Well, first Senior.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're bickering a little bit about doing stuff in the kitchen.
They're talking, bickering about being spoiled, and I'm like, you guys are just spoiling each other if that's the case.
Yeah. And they're talking about each other. I mean, Mary's basically saying that Rob Senior spoils Rob Junior.
Yeah.
And Rob Senior loves Rob. Like, that's, you know, but basically their child is both of their worlds, but they're separately both of their worlds, not together. And she, it's at different points of the scene, but I'm just going to put it all together. So she's basically saying that, this is where she says about how she, the whole thing was awkward. She pretended to be on her period for a while. She had to take some time to get to know Rob Senior. But she's glad that she says she's glad that she did, and that she feels like Rob Senior was a perfect match for her. Mm-hmm. Like, that everything she would have wanted in a man he had. But after her son was born, they like drifted into different roles, and she drifted into being a mom, and he drifted into what she says is Rob Senior. Yeah, so that doesn't say much except for to say that they probably weren't as connected as she's making it out. And once they had a kid, you know, then they could do their separate things, and they're and more.
Now we know they live separately,
and she might have said it at dinner, but they're more of a partnership than a marriage. Mm-hmm. And I think Meredith even said, oh, like a friendship. And she was like, well, like a partnership.
Yeah.
So I don't know that they like really love each other that much.
Yeah.
Or ever did. I don't know.
But the other point of the scene is that like, she's basically trying to force Rob Jr. to go to boarding school in LA, which because of the girlfriend, basically.
Mm-hmm. So we've learned that he's dating a girl. She is now saying that the school he goes to is not, he's not learning anything, and she wants to send him to a boarding school in LA.
But she also kind of like in the same breath is like, you're not learning anything because you're distracted with your girlfriend.
And she's saying Rob Jr. has now joined the scene. He's there.
Yeah.
She's saying this to him. He says he doesn't want to go. He'll be lonely. And he doesn't want to be without his girlfriend.
It's just crazy that, like, in the next season, she's trying to get him to go to the military. And I'm like, you literally would rather your son not be with you than be with a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Is and what so it sounds like.
It's just, like. It's reading a lot at first of, like, a little bit of jealousy.
Yeah. Exactly.
And by a little bit, I mean a lot of it. And that she has the resources to do a lot of things to, like, to fix it.
And by fix it, you mean force your child to go to boarding school for kind of no reason.
Yeah.
You can't afford to go to a private school in Utah? You can.
Yeah, exactly.
If that's how you feel about his school now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be a boarding school.
So, but I think she has good intention. I mean, I think she just doesn't realize, like, it just seems like somebody who doesn't realize they're letting their, like, negative emotions drive their present.
Yeah.
Definitely. Which we all do, but
yeah.
So anyways, the next scene, we are with Whitney and her dad. They're arriving. This is where they go to Mary's church. Now, it starts with Whitney and her dad, but Meredith is also there.
With a friend.
Mm-hmm. But Whitney's explaining a little bit more about her dad's journey with sobriety. She's really been like his main rock and support system for a while. And she's realized she can't do everything on her own. And she really wants her dad to have a good support system, which, you know, churches can provide, like lots of like well-meaning adults who, you know, you see regularly that he can connect with.
Yeah.
And a lot of churches have like programs and things for people who are struggling.
Yeah. But she never once says like he's sober now. She just says he went to rehab and is considering going to a sober home.
Right. So they are in the front row with Meredith and her friend. Mary comes in. She puts on the gospel show.
Mm-hmm.
She is entertaining. I mean, it is fun.
It's just funny. It's like she comes in and immediately everyone is like, Mary, like screaming for her, and she's like, oh my god. I was like reveling, and I was like, this is so funny.
Yeah. And then she gets up and does the whole show, and then lots of people are crying.
She basically is like, God knows everything that you're going through, let him take it all, like give it all up to him, basically like saying it without saying what's happening with Whitney and her dad.
Yeah. And she prays at the end with I thought it was just Whitney and her dad, but it was actually Meredith as well.
Yeah. But Meredith's friend is also crying.
Yeah. It was nice. You know, it's a nice gesture, but also we know what happens to the dad. So it's like, okay. But
it made me sad.
Yeah.
It made me sad because, like, in her confessional right afterward, Whitney is like, it feels like he's finally ready to, like, let go of this part of his life. And it just makes me really sad to know that, like, he doesn't. Like, for her.
Yeah.
Also, I know there's a lot of other stuff that comes up with the dad.
Yeah.
Possibly other stuff later that she alludes to. So obviously, like, maybe it's a good thing he's not in her life anymore. But I just mean, it made me sad because she had so much hope in the confessional.
Yeah, that he would, like, mm-hmm. that he finally felt love for the first, like, time in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't enough. Anyways. So we leave the church and we have a short scene with Jen, they're basically doing a dry run for her glam for the next day.
Yeah.
So her Shaw squad is there, her paid friends, the paid people around.
There's like two people actually doing something and then like four people just standing there talking to her, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like hearing her complain.
Yeah. So she, you know, it's like interesting because she's like, it's interesting that they would do a whole prep for a party.
Probably just because she's bored and doesn't have anything to be doing.
Right. And she, you know, this is where she talks about her Shaw squad and how she knows that she leans on them because mm-hmm. she is lonely.
Because coach is always gone.
So she has more of a less of an employee worker relationship than it's like muddled.
Yeah.
This is also where I don't know if she got the text, but she's talking about how Meredith is canceling. And immediately she is not okay with that.
Yeah.
And she says, Chloe doesn't want to hang out with her mom. She's 18. She's gone to college.
I thought this is stupid because she literally came home.
I know. Also, you might, like, lots of kids like to, like, hang out with their, like, see their parents, like, regularly.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're not having fun at college if you go home for a week and hang out with your mom. Like, yeah. That's
okay. They're also rich as hell. They'd probably do fun things.
Right. Right. Exactly. So immediately we see that she's taking it the wrong way and she is like fully taking it the wrong way. She has made it fully about her.
Yeah.
It is an attack on her happiness.
Which is ironic because it is about her.
What do you mean?
It is fully about her that they don't want her to come over.
Oh, but it's for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. So then we are finally at the Beauty Lab baby shower. And this is more of like Heather expounding on her feelings about marriage and mm-hmm. how she really wants to impress upon these women that they don't need to be perfect mom. They're not only do they not need to be perfect moms and wives, but they're not gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
Like she just looks at it, she's like, I just see them. They're like so young
mm-hmm.
and they probably think this is how it's going to be. And I think maybe she's like projecting her experience a little bit
mm-hmm.
where she thought she was going to have a Gerber baby and a Gerber life and like be a perfect wife. And it did not turn out that mm-hmm. way.
She gave a good speech, I will say.
Yes. Even though they seem to only give them pointless Range Rovers, I think they seem to be proud of that, you know, for themselves. But I don't know if it was a...
to me, that came off as like, that's some shit like Kylie Jenner does. And to me, it just came off as like, oh, Heather wants to like look like she's rich on camera.
Yeah.
But I mean, she's rich on camera, but it just felt like, oh, the gift being five Range Rover toy things. It's like, you're just doing that because like rich people do that.
Yeah. And the last, I guess an important takeaway here for Heather was that it's made this whole situation is making her reevaluate how she teaches her children because she doesn't want them to be, she doesn't want them to be young mothers just because that's what they think they're supposed to be doing.
She basically is like, this is her realization of like, I'd want my kids to choose their religion or their path and not force them to be Mormons.
Exactly. Which is nice.
Yeah.
So then Heather, Whitney, and Jen, who are the three members of the cast here, go to the back and they are having a little discussion. And Jen is upset. Well, let me back it up. First, Whitney is saying that this is a clean slate party, that she is wiping the slate clean.
Mm-hmm. So she invites Lisa.
So she's invited Lisa and she's just going to start over.
The Prohibition Party.
Yeah, Prohibition Party, and which is the following day. And Jen, you know, basically saying, is Jen going to have a clean slate? Which she says the words, but then she also about Mary, but then she also says she doesn't care about Mary and that Mary's irrelevant. But clearly she is still triggered and impressed.
Yeah. But just like both Whitney and Heather were like, wait, I thought this was over. Why are you getting all pissy about Mary? And then in doing so, she's getting pissy that Meredith went to church, Mary's church. And she's saying like, I'm not saying you have to choose between me and Mary, but if you're going to be friends with Mary and going to be friends with me, we're going to have a problem. So you are saying you have to choose.
Right. So yeah. But that's what I mean, you can just summarize. Like, that's a good summary of like the next 5 minutes. She's like talking in circles about how she doesn't feel this way, but really
she does feel that way.
And because she even says at the end, and I felt like Heather was, you know, at least trying to play peacekeeper a little bit. But she says, I'm not saying to choose. I'm just saying to tell me. And then she says, bitch, vote. Mm-hmm. Which is choosing. Voting is choosing.
Yeah.
So she's being very, would you even call that hypocritical? It's like in the same moment where you're saying A and B at the same time.
It just, she means one thing, but she knows that that is like bad to say. So she is trying to come off as not meaning that, but she does mean that.
Yeah. It's a level of delusion.
Yeah.
That is pretty high.
Yeah.
And then we end the show. Or this episode with the beginning of the Prohibition Party. Mm-hmm. We get a montage of everybody getting ready. There was a new confessional and Whitney's wig.
Oh my God.
Was so crazy. It was like a square on top of her, instead of like the curve, like you have, it was
whoever
just like
laid that wig.
It was so bad.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say that I know how to lay a wig, but like watching Drag Race, you know a bad one from a good one, and this was a bad one.
Yeah, the wig itself was fine. Just the way they put it on her head, not great.
You can see the full line on the top of her forehead.
Mm-hmm. But this is a confessional look, not the look she wore to the party.
Right.
Now, as far as people, we kind of see everybody showing up over the course of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Heather, I thought looked really good.
Heather Whitney and Whitney both looked really good. I mean, Jen looked really good.
Jen looked really good. I don't know that I would say it was 20s, but she did get very glammed up.
She Meredith, wore a dress that should have two Shaw Squad members carry.
Right. Meredith wore bell bottoms and looked nothing like appropriate.
Meredith wore what Meredith always wears.
Right.
A blazer. And then weird pants.
Right. And Lisa, I can't even remember what Lisa wore.
It was just kind of normal 20s stuff.
Yeah.
Mary looked a little crazy, though.
I was a little confused by this, too, because as they were talking about what people, like Meredith not trying, there's somebody fully in the background that had like a very bright red hoodie and jeans on. And I was like, well, and I remember them saying the party,
the bar is the party.
Right. Well, that's what I was getting to.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Anyways,
but my favorite part was the stripper guy,
which I was thinking, is this just what they do at this bar, or did Whitney bring these people in?
No, they have to just have the pole, and like they had like spinny like hoops from dangling from the ceiling. That has to be a part of the bar. But the weird part was the girl on the spinny hoop was dressed like 20s, but then the guy stripper on the pole literally was wearing jeans and cowboy boots and a cowboy hat, strips down to more cutoff jeans,
yeah,
which then strips down to red striped underwear, all while wearing the cowboy hat and boots the whole time. And I'm like, what the heck is up?
Yeah.
I couldn't stop laughing at him revealing to more jeans.
Yeah, so...
This is also about when the edible kicked in last night.
So Lisa's talking about how strippers are not, like, of course, Whitney's going to have strippers, of course, and this is in very 20s.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't think, it doesn't seem like she brought the strippers. So
right, it seems like they're just there.
Yeah. And then I was
what did she say? She covered her eyes and said something.
I'm shy. Yeah. I was like, okay. Even though your son has a strong pullout game at 16. And
right.
And you said no porn's not, you know, I was like, well.
Get her.
Anyways. Yeah, so I know it was just weird because it was a party. It just seems very season one because it was a party for like 30 to 60 people in this, whatever it was in this 20s, but there's like all these other people there.
Yeah.
Like they didn't even get the space to themselves.
Right.
So I was like, okay. But I'm sure those people had fun being on camera, you know, they're like, oh, yeah. What the
Whitney was also like acting like she's was in the 20s. Like everything that came out of her mouth was like, I love the 20s.
Yeah. She was very in character. Yeah, exactly. She was so very committed.
I loved it.
This is where Lisa said she was bringing decadence and you're bringing depression.
Yeah.
Like, another thing to note.
Isn't that great? We can drink. I don't know. All she was saying was just funny.
You also pointed out that when Jen comes in and makes her entrance, two of her Shaw squad is sitting at the side, like gassing her up, basically.
It's really weird. Publicly. Yeah, it's like two Shaw squad members clearly like got there before her and were like, yes, girl, get it. And you thought it was like initially you were supposed to think like
it's just the gays.
A couple random gays are like gassing her up. But I was like, no, that was literally her hairstyle. That was from the day before that they just showed.
Yeah. So it's really sad because I don't know. It's like cringy that you would send your employee ahead of you to like make a scene of your entrance.
Yeah.
Like without, you know.
And you had two employees following you, holding your dress, making the entrance.
Yeah. And we end the episode with, you know, Jen gets there and she sees Meredith is already speaking with Mary. It's like a knife to her heart.
Oh my God.
And she's just mad.
Yeah.
So that's what, and then, you know, to begin.
And we know that's going to lead into Jen's scream exit and her saying that she's sitting with someone who fucks her grandpa.
Oh, yes.
But that's next week.
Yes. It's actually interesting on the rewatch how much I like Mary. I remember liking her at the beginning, but I think everything was so new.
Yeah.
It was also kind of overwhelming that watching it back, I do feel like Mary is mistreated.
Hmm.
Like I'm more on, I mean, I think it was weird that she couldn't let it go. Like she couldn't just apologize about the hospital thing, saying that it, like, upset somebody. Just say, like, okay, I didn't mean it that way. I'm sorry that it hurt you.
But she kind of did say that eventually.
It just took a lot of teeth pulling.
Yeah.
And which made it worse.
Yeah.
But she's much more likable to me on the rewatch.
Yeah. She's a likable character. And she's pretty vulnerable in this season.
Yes.
It's crazy to me. Also, next week is the Met Gala party, and I'm like, how fast do they move through these parties? Like, I know the season only has like I think like 13 episodes, like regular season episodes. Uh-huh. So obviously there are gonna be things moving faster, but it just felt like these are the things I remember from this season are the
grandpa fucker.
Yeah, the grandpa fucker scene at this party and the Met Gala party. Like they're already happening.
Yeah. Well, that is the end of the episode. I'm not going to do the next time on because we said we weren't going to do that.
Well, we just kind of did it.
Yeah. And I've already said what I think about as things that are coming back to me. I'm like, oh, I really feel like I miss. Sometimes when you're watching something through the first time, like, it's also new. You don't have time to like process or think about it all. And like, so watching it again is really enlightening. Yeah.
Well, you're kind of being enlightened by Mary, I guess. Ironically, I feel like I'm forgetting how much of like a badass, funny character Whitney was season one.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels like she calms it. I guess maybe like the whole crystals and healing journey thing is her, why she calmed down a little bit, but it just felt like, I don't know. It feels like she's a little too like one note now.
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, it was very like, she was like crazy with the whole, like she's funny. She's like not afraid to like be on the stripper pole all the time and like do crazy things like that. And then on top of that, like she's also really funny and like really making herself the center of attention in a good way. A lot of these episodes. So I just feel like she doesn't do that anymore. Either of those things.
Yeah.
And when she does, it's like dumb reasons, like the whole book part at the end.
Yeah. And I think Heather's a lot. I mean, I still think she's pretty vulnerable in future seasons, but you can tell she's a lot less guarded.
Mm-hmm.
And this season. And I think social media really like, I think after the first season, they all had to like contend with how people talk with them. And I think
And what part of how Heather and Whitney talk about with them afterward.
Right. And so I think how some of them chose to deal with it was to tone it down.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of afraid of like what's going to be said.
Full agree. All right. Well, that is the end of the episode. If you enjoyed it, we are going to be watching season one every single week. They will come out on Wednesdays.
Except next week.
Well, I think next week we're going to have to film a little early, but I'll still just put it out on Wednesday.
Oh, we're still going to do it. Okay.
We're going to be traveling a lot the next couple weeks, but we'll still be here together doing it every Wednesday for you. So if you want to watch along, next week will be episode 4 of season one. They're all on Peacock, by the way. I don't know why. I've never said that before, but okay. If you have Peacock, they're all on there.
Yeah.
And we'll be watching, episode 4 next week. So if you want to watch that before next Wednesday, you can tag along with us while we talk about it. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate us 5 stars or whatever you think. But hopefully you think 5. We also have an Instagram at Privileged Twinks. Normally I put up like memes from the week, but again, there hasn't really been that many memes happening right now with it. So might just put up the poster and episode title from this one. So it's a place you guys can comment about it. And otherwise, we will be back next week for episode 4.
Thank you so much. We'll see you then.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Travis.
And this is Privileged Twinks.
And goodbye.
Goodbye.